build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your might.
It's 47 past the hour. I always enjoy the opportunity to talk faith, the culture, church with Leith Anderson. Leith serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and for 35 years he was the pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and has authored some 20 books, speaks and teaches around the country, and we're always honored to have him with us. He makes a visit each every other Wednesday, and so Leith, good to have you on again. Ted and I are looking forward to our conversation.
Hi, Neil, and hi, Ted.
Hello.
You know, let's jump in with the Supreme Court decision that ruled this week that government may not discriminate against faith-based organizations when it seeks partners to carry out secular purposes, and that was a decision out of Missouri, and you can just share a little bit about that. And I know that NAE filed an amicus brief for that. Hopeful things, perhaps.
Yeah, it was a good decision, 7-2, so that's a pretty significant majority. I think probably really not surprising, but just to remind everybody or tell them if they don't know, the case was about the playground for the Trinity Lutheran Church preschool in Missouri, and what the school wanted was state money to cover the playground with a rubber surface, sort of chopped up tire pieces in order to make it safer. And most preschools in the state were eligible for this money, but the state of Missouri declined the Trinity request because it's a religious organization, so the school went to court. And there are just so many interesting pieces to this, because the governor of Missouri had already approved the money for them, so usually the Supreme Court would just say, well, it's moot and skip it, but they decided to go ahead and make a really significant ruling. Part of this is that it's not just about Missouri. There are 36 states that have this restriction in their state constitutions, even though actually most of them don't enforce it. But some say that you just can't have any contributions toward any organizations that are religious. If you check the history of this, these constitutions were written 100 and more years ago, and there are those who say that back then Protestants were writing the constitutions, and most Protestant children went to public schools, and it was Catholic children that went to parochial schools. And the Protestant authors of these state constitutions didn't want the Catholic schools to get any money, and so they put it in the Constitution. And times have changed. But anyway, besides the history and tires and preschools, the Supreme Court has really clearly ruled that religious organizations should not be prohibited from receiving government funds for secular purposes, you know, things like keeping preschoolers safe on their playgrounds. So it's an important precedent.
Interesting history there. Leith, so in light of this, are we moving more toward rule by court decisions, say, rather than winning ideas through the legislative process and the court of public opinion? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a concerning trend. I do find that people are most concerned when they think they're going to lose, They're not quite as concerned when they think they're going to win. So it probably depends on which side of the issue you're on. The reality is that political polarization, and we have plenty of that, it often blocks legislation, and what we end up with, instead of hundreds of members of Congress deciding on behalf of the people, it could end up being one judge or a small panel of judges that make the decision instead. And because federal judges have lifetime appointment, there's a whole question here of what their real accountability is to the citizens of our nation. And all that said, we do need to keep some realities in mind. You know, both on the news and last week I met with the top congressional leader in Washington, his office. And I've been reminded multiple times that Congress really does pass a lot. Hundreds and hundreds of bills were bipartisan passed in the last year. The polarization tends to come over really controversial issues like budget and health care and immigration, where the differences are really big. Anyway, all of this is to say we do have some say in court decisions through amicus briefs. So as Neil mentioned, the National Association of Evangelicals filed what in English is a friend of the court legal argument, and others can do this as well. And they're read, they're considered by the judges and their staffs, and we have our input. But generally, we want our legislatures to do their job as running the country and not just leaving it to judges.
Yeah. Leith Anderson's my guest today. We're talking faith, culture, and the church, and you can find out about the podcast that Leith does on a regular basis at the website nae.net. And Leith, on one of your recent podcasts, you talked with Rebecca Lyons about, among other things, women's ministry in the church. And be interested in your thoughts on, you know, it seems like some churches have dropped them all together. How does a church decide what kinds of ministry to develop or even to keep going?
Neil, you are so good at coming up with topics that can have all these different opinions to them. Yeah, there is a tendency for churches to support or continue or discontinue ministries for sometimes wrong reasons. So usually the reasons are that they've always done it that way, so they keep doing it, whether it's a good idea or not. Another reason is that they get a pastor, maybe a new pastor, who did something in Alaska that really worked, but now that pastor's in Arkansas trying to do the same thing, and it just really doesn't work. And that's because yesterday doesn't always work today, and elsewhere doesn't always work everywhere. Anyway, good leaders should and do figure out what the needs are and what the opportunities are in the church and community, and then do it. So let me tell you a quick story. I was once the speaker for a national conference of church planters. So before I was up to speak, I was seated at a table with this guy who was apparently a church planter. So I asked him, he said, yeah, I do church planter. And I said, how's it going? He said, oh, it's really hard to start a new church. And you know, I kind of felt sorry for him. He said, but it got easier after attendance topped 3,000. So then I didn't feel quite so bad for him. It was really going well. So I said to him, well, what kind of music do you have in your church? And I'll tell you what he said, although I to this day I'm not sure I even understand what the answer meant. He said, we have hoedown country music. That's not what I have, so I don't really know what that is. And I said to him, is that your kind of music? I mean, are you a musician? And he kind of whispered back to me and said, well, my college degree is in classical organ performance.
Wow.
And I said, do the people in your church know this? And he, of course, all whispered again. He said, no, it's a secret. He didn't want them to know. But there's a big point here, and that is that he didn't impose his personal preferences on the people, but he adapted to the needs and opportunities of his church and community. So he's a very good leader. So whether it's women's ministries or children's ministries or hoedown music or whatever it may be, the question is, to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do we need to do in this church and this community, and then step up and do that?
Good word.
Yeah. Leith, just speaking about the church, too, I know you've written the book, The Volunteer Church, with Jill Fox. And when you think about volunteering in the church, is recruitment the key determiner if a church keeps a ministry going? Or if nobody wants to do something, would that ministry then go away? Should it go away?
Well, that's probably not the reason it should or shouldn't go away. You know, there are lots of different things that are going on here. And the number one reason that people volunteer is because they're asked. And the best recruiters are usually volunteers themselves who are really good at it and they like it. But if there are no volunteers, maybe a ministry should be dropped. But I think that's a poor reason because that ministry may be really necessary and important. So I think the better answer is to go back to a minute or two ago, and that is, what does this church and community need and where's the opportunity? And if the ministry is wrong for now, then phase it out, even if you have volunteers. And on the other hand, if the ministry is right and needs to be done and short on volunteers, then we need to step up and find out what we need to do to succeed. Again, personally, for years, I prayed and dreamed of a ministry to people with special needs, and we just could not get the right volunteers. And I'm thinking 5 or 7 years. We kept trying and praying, and eventually we got who we needed. We got the volunteers. And it took far longer than I liked, but eventually we got where we needed to go for a great ministry.
It's a great book to be reading here this summer as you're looking to maybe do some recruiting for the fall. Leith, just have a minute or so left. We've talked in the past about Pray Together Sunday, but that's a great initiative. It's coming up here July 9th. Just say a word about that.
Pray Together Sunday is initiated by the National Association of Evangelicals, and if a church wants to sign up, it's at nae.net. And it's inviting churches on July 9 to just set aside some time in their service to pray together and to pray particularly for our nation. There's some more details there, and there are free bulletin inserts and things like that. It was started last year, and there were many hundreds of churches that signed up all across the country. The response this year has really been significantly larger. So what began last year and was really successful is advancing, and I really hope it's a movement. And radio networks and denominations, they're really getting on board and supporting this, trying to get their churches to sign up. Pray Together Sunday, July 9.
All right, check it out. Sign up, talk about it. Your church, NAE.net, has more information, and recommend it to you. Great opportunity to gather as the body and pray together. Leith Anderson is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. So with us today, Leith, always good to visit with you. We appreciate you.
Thanks much. Summer blessings.
Do you get some downtime, Leith, at all this summer? Are you going to travel at all?
No.
Nope. All right, we'll keep praying for you.
Sure. together was the key there,
yes,
right?
Together.
There's work to be done. All right. Leith Anderson joining us here on Connecting Faith. Say, by the way, we mentioned Pray Together Sunday. We're picking up on that as well at Faith Radio, and you can go to myfaithradio.com and sign up for Pray Together email series, which will go on in the week following our Pray Together Sunday. Some daily emails with a prayer focus to help you, to guide you in prayer. So a great opportunity to, you know, pray as God's family together for the concerns of our nation and our world. And thank you so much for tuning in to Connecting Faith today. If you missed part of the show, you can always hear it again online. We post the interviews at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.